Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're glad you're with us tonight, and we want to welcome you to this week's version of Raising Expectations. And we're excited tonight because we have two of our favorite people in the world, and we're going to introduce them in just a moment. I hope you've had a great day. We're here to hopefully raise your expectations, whatever God may be doing in your life. We are people of faith. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he died on the cross for our sins. That's a great thing because we know who we are and where we're going. But just as exciting is the fact that he promised to walk with us every single day. And if anybody can raise your expectations, it's certainly going to be God living in you in the Holy Spirit. So it was kind of interesting. Yesterday, I was down in Southern California this last week, and I'm driving down the road at 75 miles an hour, and I discovered a new technological thing. I've learned all these things. You know, I'm the old guy here. So all of a sudden, I'm looking at my phone, and I'm thinking, well, now, how about that? And all of a sudden, the phone starts this blaring sound, and it says, earthquake, earthquake, you're in an earthquake, duck and cover. Of course, at that time, I'm doing 75 miles an hour down the middle of a crowded freeway. So I don't think they figured out how to do that exactly. So I just kept going by faith with my head under the dash. No, I didn't. But it was really interesting to see that I learned that my phone can warn me about an earthquake now. So that's nice to know. And I hear they're coming out with one if you live in Texas that'll warn you about the heat wave that's coming. Tell you just how hot it is because they're in for 30 straight days, I think, of 100 plus degrees in Texas. So God's working in everything. Whatever we face every day, he's going to give us the assurance he's taken us through it. And he's going to give us the joy of knowing he's with us in it. And he's going to make something funny in everything if we stop and see the humor of everyday life walking with Jesus and walking with those that we love. And speaking of those that we love, our team is ready to go here tonight. And I want to introduce you very quickly again. Our team is comprised of some of the most wonderful people you'll ever meet in your life. And we start with Dr. Paul Hall out on the West Coast in California. His phone might have done that too because it was up in Ojai where that thing happened. I don't know if it reached up to past Santa Barbara. But and so did you duck and cover, Paul?
Well, I used to be on the West Coast. Now I'm in the middle of America because the ground did move.
Oh, it did? Oh, it was stronger where you were. Okay.
Yeah, it was fine. You see, yeah.
Dr. Hall always has a good way of looking at things. There's something in the middle of us that gave him a free trip to Central America. So in any event, God's always working. So as we look at that, Dr. Hall, as you know, is a retired pastor. He's a theologian. He's a teacher. He's a friend of everybody that knows him. If you meet him once, he's your friend. He's been my friend for over 50 years. It's good to see you, brother. We love you. Glad you're here. And you're in our prayers. Good to see you tonight. And if we take a trip now, if the ground starts to shake, maybe we'll end up going all the way back out there. We're headed to the East Coast. And on the East Coast, on the south side of it, that is where we have Steph and Craig Thayer. Steph Thayer is the founder and CEO of Quenching Wells. She is, as you probably know, the best health and wellness coach you're going to find anywhere in America. And if you don't realize that, we're going to save up, rent the Goodyear blimp, and fly it over your house so it'll say her name and you'll know who to call. She'll help you to know what to do, what to eat, how to get healthy, how to take care of exercise, everything under the sun. And her partner in this is her wonderful husband, Dr. Craig Thayer, who's a trauma surgeon and knows all about the stuff she helps you with, like muscle tone and all these things and how God put the body together. He's a trauma surgeon. So when someone has a question and they want to know what to do, they say, ask Craig and he'll show us the way. And Craig prays and says, let's do this. So in any event, Dr. Craig Thayer is, we call him Tank. The Thayers live there in Dalton, Georgia, on the east-south coast now. Still doesn't seem right, but I'm going to do it in honor of Ron. We love Ron, so I'm still trying to figure that out. It is the south, I guess. But they came from California also, and they lived up north. And Craig, we're, yeah, that's an interesting thing as we look at that. There he is. There's Craig. Okay. So he's playing musical squares. We're playing tonight. This is kind of fun. This is, you never know. We just love our show. We have all kinds of fun things that happen. So our Ron in Texas, Central America, we have Ron Greer, and Ron can't be with us tonight. Ron is on an obligation, something he's covering tonight, he and his family. So we've been praying for him. He'll be back in a week. So we're going to miss Ron tonight. He's one of our favorite pastors in the entire state of California. And Ron does an incredible job as a men's counselor, pastor, and just an all-around great guy and a theologian. And he works with men in the mirror down from the state of Florida. And he kind of covers all the central area, Texas and Oklahoma and all those areas. So this is our team. And these are very, very special people. Now, we want to bring to you two people that actually were brought to us by Stephanie. Stephanie, tell them how you found them, Stephanie, and bring on the Thayers for us. This is interesting.
Okay, so I was sharing this beforehand. Actually, during COVID, both Marianne and I got onto sort of a Zoom business networking calls, and we met because you would sort of do roundtable talking with different people, and we just became friends from there and connected. She's a huge dyslexia advocate, and at the time, my son was really going through a lot of those struggles, and then from there, it just grew. So you never know how and when you're going to connect with people that are amazing and then become a piece of your life. So it's pretty special. Yeah. And Dr. Marianne and her husband, Will, are awesome. They're regulars on here. I'm not sure if you've heard them before. If you haven't, you will really, really enjoy tonight. I don't even know what our topic is, but I'm sure it'll include the Lord and helping other people.
Yeah. Boy, look at those smiles, friends. You can see the Lord in a smile. It comes through the eyes, and there's a smile of two of our wonderful friends. And thanks, Steph, for inviting them and making them part of our family. And they are very, very, very special. So let's bring them on. We're going to do the famous right hand around the world, a round of applause. And we're going to bring them on now. And DJ, you bring them on, and we're excited to have them. And there they are, all the way from Glendora, California, nestled against the Angeles Crest Mountains. Is it Angeles Crest Forest? It's so-called San Gabriel Mountains.
San Gabriel?
Yeah, that's it. And I grew up in Glendale, not too far away from there. But we played Glendora my senior year, the first football game. That, remember those guys, the Tartans or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, I think that was it. So welcome tonight. And we're certainly glad that you're with us tonight. Let me just say this, and I'm going to punt the ball to you for a few minutes. And we're just here because we just appreciate you guys. We have guests on the show quite often, as you know, who are, as these wonderful people are, experts in their fields, and they share. And if you were with us last week, it was just coming a mile a minute when we had Kurt Schlichter with us. It was incredible. And then we have people also like we have tonight with Will and Marianne Cintron, who she begins to share, and then we begin to talk, and it just opens up. And many of you will text me, and you'll be sharing. We just felt like we'd known them all our lives, and we enjoyed hearing from them. And they made us think about things God was doing in my life and in our lives. And so Marianne and Will, that's really a compliment. You're the only ones that have ever received that of all the guests that we have on our show. So we just want you to share a few words with us, and we'll just go from there. Welcome, welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's a blessing and honor to be here as well. Thank you. And Stephanie, you were on my YouTube channel because Stephanie is a health and wellness coach and nutrition coach. And one of the things we encourage parents with any children is to look at the health. What are you feeding your child? So, and there was a very special YouTube that we had. It was a great interview. And then I had her husband Tank on interviewing as the expert with the genius mind of dyslexia, which we want people to know that dyslexic people have genius in their minds. And Tank is a top surgeon, and he had dyslexia, but he didn't know he had it until his son was diagnosed. And then he realized his son had the same challenges he had. So, you know, it's very interesting. We have some really good YouTubes that give a lot of information, a lot of interviews, people who've had dyslexia that were in prison and said if they would have had remedial reading help, they wouldn't have landed up in prison. And we just try to get kids reading by third grade because one out of five kids has dyslexia, and the dropout rate, dropping out of high school is really high. It's 85% of the dropouts have dyslexia. So we need to really tackle the dyslexia issue. There was a friend of mine who used to work for the Department of Justice back east, and he said there was a school district that used to look at the illiteracy rate of third graders to determine how many prisons to build. And that doesn't speak to your heart that there's an issue. So we need to address dyslexia and let the kids know that they have brilliant minds if they are dyslexic, but we got to get them reading because their self-esteem is plummeting and they get into bad behaviors and they get into crime, get into drugs. They're rebellious against their parents. And we had a slogan that said, turn the battlefield of the home into a playground by helping your dyslexic child read, because, you know, parents and grandparents are always deferring to the school to work with the behavior of their dyslexic children, and their homes are sad and they're battlefields. Kids are always arguing, running out of the house, not wanting to communicate. So we want that home to be a playground where families getting along together and kids are feeling good about themselves because they are learning to read.
Man, would you say this is kind of something that's newer, that's gone around? How should I word this, Steph? Maybe you and Tank have talked about this. You know, like my oldest daughter, back in the early 90s, when we sent her to Liberty University back in Virginia, never had any ideas. She's so quick at shifting things around, like we talked about once, of coming up with a new plan. Like if I can't hold it with the right, I grab it on the left hand. You know, the way we would normally think about things. And yet she did really well, but yet we discovered there was dyslexia there and a lot of other things that she would make up for and make ways to get through it. She was working three or four times as hard so that she could come up with a plan to achieve the goal that she prayed about for God to do in her life. So we didn't have any idea. And that was only like 25 years ago. Do you think there are more people across the nation that are in families that are really dealing with this and not knowing that they are? Possibly.
Yeah. And parents don't know what to do. Every state had mandates for the schools to assess for dyslexia and provide intervention. California was mandated that in 2015. It became Ed Code, and schools are trying to skirt around it. And with COVID, that really sets things back because parents are now involved with what their kids are doing online and realizing their kids couldn't read, and the schools are just making excuses. So, you know, it's one of the things we wanted to talk about on this program tonight was how God leads and how we hear from God. Because I'll tell you, I've been doing this for 18 to 20 years. We have a nonprofit that it's called Step by Step Dyslexia Solutions. And we've had 3 years of YouTube to help parents and educators learn how to work with dyslexic children. We've had interviews, and it's a unique approach we take because it's a model from the science of reading, but we also use music, Amen. Helping to retrain the brain. And that's really hard for the school system to adapt that. They want to come up with their own ideas and their own answers to things, but this is based on research. And it's what I got my doctorate in, that we can retrain the brain when we use music in the left ear and spelling exercises in the right ear. And there's a beautiful program that the Lord allowed me to put on a platform at a university called Promise Christian University. It's not just for Christians. It's for anybody who wants the professionalism of a university and the endorsement. And we have it going up for a real special price right now. It was on a special price all summer. And it's on my website. It's select at dys-sol.com. But we have a discount price right now. And when you sign up, you get a special login code, just like you're taking a college class online. Awesome. So we've been offering this, and we really feel inspired that the Holy Spirit is having us persevere and not give up. And we actually have a vision of helping 20,000 teachers and 300,000 kids. And one of the things we have learned in our marriage, we just had an anniversary of 34 years.
Amen.
One of the things we learned was that as we are Christ followers and we are tithers for the income we have, and then we give offerings, we plant seed. That offering is money into ministries, mm-hmm. whether it's raising expectation, whether it's a preaching ministry that we want to partner with because we share the vision, and they give to, you know, the poor, they give to Maui, they'll be giving to disaster relief. We partner with ministries, and when we partner, we pray and say, this is for the dyslexia videotapes to be purchased. Let people's eyes be opened, and we want them purchasing our program, because as people purchase it, it gives us more seed for tithing and planting back out into ministry. So we have a real compassion to give to others as well. We're not just trying to get rich and hoarding it away and going on vacations after vacations. People need to know our heart. We really want to help people, and that's a passion God has given us, but we're faithful to the money he gives us. So we also have a GoFundMe that's going on right now, and later on CJ will post that. But the GoFundMe is to help with some Google advertising, because that's our next step. We've had this out for 4 years, and we just can't afford some of the Google and Facebook ads. So we're looking for a GoFundMe to get the word out for people who maybe want to pay it forward and do have deep pockets and want to have a good tax write-off by donating to a nonprofit. Amen. So we're working. We just feel the Lord's leading us in that direction. We've been praying about writing grants, and somebody's looking into that with us as well, which is a blessing. But we want people to order the training programs that are on the platform at Promise Christian University. Let me just briefly share that those are 6 training programs, the digital files of all the curriculum, plus we mail you the curriculum in a hard copy, so you have it all there when you're going through the training program.
Wow, look at that. That's wonderful. That's incredible. The whole story is there. Look at there for folks to read. That's excellent.
So if you back it down a little bit, we'll show you also, CJ, we are doing a flag distribution in our community. One thing the Lord has inspired Will and I to do is be involved with keeping our schools, conservative and keeping parents involved and being sure the curriculum isn't taking out good history and it's accurate in the science. And so we're involved in a group in our community called Glendora Stands. And then the Lord's been putting it on our hearts to, Will's a veteran, so it's been on our hearts to donate to veterans for Freedom Outreach and Wounded Warriors. And anyway, so what's been on my heart was last 4th of July, walking in my neighborhood and not seeing people having flags out. I mean, there were the normal people who have their flags out on a daily basis, but on a holiday, there should be more flags out, and it just wasn't happening. So a lot of people in this Glendora Stands have stepped up with us to purchase subscriptions for flags to go out on their front lawns for 9 days of the year. And the mission is to let it's flag distribution by junior patriots. So we want to have our neighbors who are middle and high school kids be the ones putting the flags up, bringing them down, building patriotism in them, and also teaching them some business math skills, which is amazing because we've all had our kids do lemonade stands, right?
Yes.
And then our kids have been in band or they've been in dance, and we've had to do fundraising for sports. So all those teach the salesmanship of business and, you know, record keeping and, you know, just inspire kids to have entrepreneurial minds. So that's another thing the Lord spoke to us about.
Yeah, and as it expands, then we're looking at possibly getting, you know, some of the church youth groups involved.
Yes.
You know, always fundraising. That's a great way for the church kids to raise funds for, you know, whatever ministry they want to support.
Yeah, I love the idea. It teaches them principles, like you said, to be proud that they accomplished something. I think all of us had a lemonade stand or something. The guy next to me made more money. He charged for the ice cubes. But in any event, you know, that's all a special part before paper routes and everything.
That's right. In fifth graders, I taught in the classroom 10 years, and one of the things fourth and fifth graders had was a store. And they would create gifts, and then they would sell them, and people would buy them before Christmas. So the schools have done that in the past. I don't know if that's still a priority anymore. But the neat thing was, when I asked my neighbor next door if she'd be interested in her two sons helping with this project, she said, "Marianne, we were just talking about that yesterday. You know, our sons are going, we want to raise some money, but nobody has anything for us to do." And she said, "I know, they don't have paper routes anymore." And she said, "So Marianne, that is exactly the right timing." And that's how God speaks to us. You know, he gives us an idea, an inspiration. We'll share it with someone else and they'll just confirm and say, "That's exactly what we want to do." So that's one way he speaks to us.
I'm going to stop talking here and pitch this ball out and be quiet. But we have somebody who watches us. I think I told Tank and Steph once that we have a families and a group that watch us every week from Uganda, Africa. And it's called tradesofnewhope.org. It just came to mind thinking of this. And the guy's wonderful fella. He calls me Papa. And that must be, I hope that's good. I'm sure it is because he's always smiling. But it's called Laban Biriamumish. And I call him Smith. It works for me, but he's a wonderful young man. He and his wife and two precious kids. He deals with people helping children how to do just what you're saying. He deals with people who have done their time in prison, teaching them how to read and write and do things again. Just came to my mind all the things you're saying. And they help with housing and homes. They have a whole area, and God really gave him a vision, and the center of it all is teaching them about the Lord Jesus Christ and what it meant that he died on the cross for their sins, and he has a plan for them. Never give up. He has a plan for them, and he's just a wonderful young man, and he's doing just what you say. I'm going to get some more information to you on that, and I can see tying that right in with the things that you all do with freedom. For freedom.
FFO.
Yeah, that's it. Tank, it's so good to see you. Steph, it's great. Paul, jump in there. I'm sure you've got ideas of what you're thinking here, and I'm pitching the ball to you there.
Well, I can say something about Uganda. You know, Craig is actually getting ready to go on a mission trip there this fall. And we have friends that have gone for years, and we've actually put in some clean water systems, mostly holding tanks there. There are areas that need water, but really, if you can have holding tanks during the wet season, it helps them a lot.
Yes.
And, you know, these pastors call themselves pastors, but they often have multiple jobs. I mean, one of the places that we've helped support, they're making bricks by hand.
Wow.
And they are fighting with, you know, who's right next door to them is a witch doctor. And I mean, it gives me the chills, actually. It puts in perspective, really, what it's front and center every day, how much they're fighting against and what they are fighting for in these children. And, you know, I think sometimes here it's easy for us to forget that there's such a battle. I mean, we see it in big perspective, but maybe we think, oh, I'm fine in my house or my neighborhood. And the reality is you probably aren't. You don't know what's going on in your neighborhood because everybody shuts the door, right? People need things here too. And your street might just be your mission field, and it might be somewhere across the country and or across the world in Uganda. You know, we have a long driveway at our house, and I came down to the bottom of the driveway last week and I froze. I was like, is that an American flag in the road? And it's off of a busy street. So I stopped, got out. I think it was actually one that, you know, how people put them in the door jam. So I put it in the car. It's small. The kids got in the car a couple hours later. They're like, where did that come from? I said, it was on the road. They're like, what? So yeah, that's the reaction of how dare it be on the street. So we scooped it up. We have it at the house now.
Amen.
Well, you know, for the flag distribution, it's no secret what we're doing. We're only charging $50 for the whole subscription for the year. Hmm. 25 of it is going to the purchase of a rebar pole, a 10-foot PVC pipe that we're cutting into thirds, and then couplings to connect them. And then the flags. You buy the flags from Lowe's, and we connect it. And engineer Will, you know, has the assembly.
There you go.
And we're just going to put them in the ground early in the morning when the ground is moist, and leave them up all weekend for a Memorial Day or Labor Day weekend, and just remove them if it's a one-day holiday in the evening. So anybody in America can do this. We don't have any, you know, claim that it's God's idea to get patriotism stirred up in our community.
Yeah, the Boy Scouts used to do it. They used to come down, you know, around the houses and asking people if they wanted, you know, to have a flag up for the coming holiday. And, you know, we always have a flag out, so we would never say yes. But and then you would see a lot of flags. And then I don't know if it was because of COVID or what, but we just haven't seen that anymore. You see occasionally, you might see a couple of houses, but not like it used to be. So we're just giving God all the glory to get this going. And, you know, one of the things that somebody brought up was, you know, when at night you're supposed to have the flag lit up, which is a little bit of a concern for me. And I'm trying to figure out, I'm been looking for a solar powered light that I could put on top of the pole, something that'll fit right in there, or if I can make it fit, I'll just jam it in there. No. And so that, you know, it'll have that light on it all night long, but you know, it,
and people can do that on their own also, if that's a concern. Sure. He's from just the army. So
yeah, just give a little pamphlet on it, but they do make one at Lowe's that has that thing, and it's flat on the top. And it looks like an old Egyptian helmet from way back being a soldier, but it's flat on the top, and it comes down and has a light that shoots down, and it's on a little pole. It would go right in the end of that PCB valve, put it right in there, and all day. And it's not that, it's not a spotlight, but it's plenty of light.
Yeah, enough light to shine on it.
We're going to have to raise our price if we add all these things, though.
Well, just give them a picture and say, you can pick this up at Lowe's. We'll fix you with the flag. Yeah. And then just stand there and you can sing "You Light Up My Life." You remember that old song? You know, and Will can show them the picture. That'll work out.
Yeah. Well, and then we're going to collect them and then store them in a shed. So people are making donations, cash donations for because of the nonprofit, they can have a tax deductible cash donation. So the Junior Patriots, flag distribution by Junior Patriots is sponsored by Step by Step Dyslexia Solutions.
Oh, that's great.
So we're getting sponsorship for a landing page we created, and then for other, you know, advertising that we've created. So that's been a blessing too.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That the way you know how to do all that is just awesome, putting all that together. What do you think, Paul?
A couple things. What's your acceptance rate of people being willing to have a flag, you know, put in their yard? I mean,
right now,
open to that?
Yeah, well, right now it's only been a group that we're already connected to with called Glendora Stands. We put flyers in our whole neighborhood, and we had one response. So, you know, that's in God's hands how it's going to grow. Yeah. But a neighboring community called Laverne, it took off in 1996, and it took off so great that the gal had to pass it on because she couldn't keep up with the demand. So I think it really has potential to grow, but we want to have students involved in it. It's just not me and Will putting all the flags up around the world.
Yeah, we're hoping that when people see the flags up, they'll ask questions. Oh, where'd you get that from? Or, you know,
Exactly. I have a follow-up question for you, okay? One of the things that you mentioned, you've got a whole bucket of things that God has led you to, kind of things like that. So here's a question for people who are listening. What process do you use to discern what the Lord is speaking to you about what to do? I think people would say, I'd love to do something, but I don't know what, and I wish God would tell me, et cetera, et cetera. So how do you, Will and Marianne, discern the Lord's will in terms of where to put your resources, what to do, programs, etc.? Could you share with that?
Yeah, boy, it's just we were thinking about that all day. So Marianne, she gets the dreams. I mean, she's it's more subtle for me. It's I'll be thinking about something, and it's like I get confirmation of whatever I'm thinking about to proceed with it. And and sometimes I'll, you know, I'm only human, so I might balk at it. But then he's, you know, the Holy Spirit is just persistent. And, you know, it's not like the guy who's out in the ocean and, you know, his boat sank and he's, you know, he's asking God for help. So God sends gives him a little lifeboat, and he says he doesn't want it. Then they send him a rescue helicopter, and he waves them off. Then they send him, you know, the Navy, and he waves them off, and then he drowns, and he's at, you know, he goes and he's asking God, you know, God, you know, I asked for your help, and you didn't help me. You let me die. He goes, well, you know, I sent you the little boat, then I sent you the helicopter, and I sent you the Navy, and you refused them all, you know? So, I mean, it's not like when I hear from him, and sometimes I might, you know, I don't know if it's just believe, not thinking that, oh, is it from the Lord? And I balk a little bit, and then he comes right back at me. And usually the second or third time, you know, sometimes I'm a little slow.
How about you, Marianne?
I'll respond.
Well, I'd like to share a dream. God gives me dreams all the time. And one of the dreams I've had recently is being in a forest, and I saw five trees just cut down at the bottom, and they fell over. One of the trees came right at me and almost hit me in the face in my dream, and it had a light on the bottom of it. And then it went away, and I followed it in my dream, and I went to it, and I touched the light, and then I almost sounds new agey, but it's not. And then I hugged the tree, and I said, are you the one? So it was just a weird dream about trees. So what I did was I went into the scriptures, and I read about trees. And there's a beautiful scripture in Isaiah 61, verse 3. It talks about, we will be oaks of righteousness for the planting of the Lord for his glory. And then there was another scripture that I even read this morning in Job 17, verse 7, that there is hope for a tree if it is cut down, that it'll sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease, though its roots may grow old in the earth and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a new plant. So we need to, you know, if God gives a dream, what's the theme of the dream? And then go to the scriptures and even ask Siri, you know, tell me some, you know, what scriptures or commentaries on trees, and you'll find out what the Lord is trying to reveal to us, because he reveals secrets mm-hmm. to us. And that's what's mm-hmm. so exciting. The Holy Spirit is alive inside of us and reveals mm-hmm. secrets. So when I read those scriptures, I just knew God was going to use us for something mighty still. It's not mm-hmm. time to close the door and retire away from everybody. What's something fresh? And then when you have a burden, not seeing flags go up, what can we do to help? You know, you talk to people. It just starts that way. We're around godly people all the time, and they'll input into our lives. And so, but we have to hear from the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that just means being quiet and being still. And sometimes God speaks louder to other people when they're quiet. And sometimes we just need to still ourselves.
Amen.
And sometimes we get dreams, which are wonderful.
He gets dreams.
Work for David. Amen. What do you think, Tank? Oh, Paul, I'm sorry. That was another question. Follow up. I'm sorry.
No, that was my question. I know a lot of people don't do anything because maybe they don't feel equipped, or maybe they say, I don't have a dream. I don't have a vision. Mm-hmm. And I think God's always active in our lives, you know, revealing things. Oh. It's just sensitizing our heart and our minds to understand it and then act on it. I think if God reveals over and over and over and we don't act on it, we become insensitized to
yes.
or desensitized to what God might be speaking. And I do think there's a point to be made. If God speaks to your heart and you're unwilling to do it, he'll find somebody else.
Yes.
And you know, God is always active. He's mm-hmm. always active. So yeah. It's a fun part to be involved. Henry Blackaby said one time that the most important thing we can do is find out where God is doing something and get over there and join it, you know, be a part of it. And so I'm thrilled at what God's doing in your heart, Will and Marianne, and how he's touching lives through your faithfulness.
And we have a big revelation of partnership as we partner with other ministries. And we have a friend running for California Senator, Beth mm-hmm. Allers. As we partner with her, you know, as God's blessing her and anointing her for her appointment, we receive the blessing as well if we're helping her financially, prayerfully, mm-hmm. because there's scriptures that say not everybody can go to war, but the people who stayed back that were supportive received the mm-hmm. same reward. So that goes also people who partner with us, people who partner with Raising Expectations, the mm-hmm. same reward that we get, whether it's in heaven or whether it's on earth, they're going to get rewarded as well. And that's an exciting that's revelation.
Amen.
And then,
Amen.
You know, if you feel like you don't, God is asking you to do something, you say, I don't know how to do that. Don't worry about it. He knows. He has all the tools.
He knows. Yeah, sure. Can I give you a personal illustration, and not to hog the time, but
when I played
football in high school, I was a quarterback. I was fortunate to be a quarterback, and I didn't play defense that much. And the first pass I threw in a competitive game was intercepted, and it just infuriates you to do yeah. that. But I learned a valuable lesson, and the lesson was, I could have jumped in front of the guy who caught the ball and tried to stop him, but I found out he was running down the sideline, and all I had to do was push him, and mm-hmm. he was out of bounds. And the point that I learned is that when you're on the move, it's a whole lot easier for God to direct your paths
exactly.
than it is to get you going in the first place. So yeah. if we're constantly active and acting on what God's showing us, it's much easier for him to redirect our paths as necessary mm-hmm. to get us where he wants us to go. And so be on the move, be moving, you know,
amen,
because
brother.
It's just easier. And
amen.
Little yeah. lesson.
Well, and you know,
heart.
That's really good. One of the things we've been learning also with messages from Gary Cassie, I don't know if people are familiar with him, but he talks about asking God where to put the net down, how Peter put the net down and caught mm-hmm. his fish and mm-hmm. and asked for another boat. And then that boat got filled up. And look at the scriptures where, you know, Elijah asked the woman to fill up her cup, you know, fill up the jar with oil, get as many jars as you can. And they keep filling up, you know, ask God what the direction is. And what's happened recently in our lives is Will's planning to retire within the year or two. And we thought of getting an RV, but we don't want to just have an RV and use it once a weekend. We thought about renting it out to other people. So that was something we believe God has put in our hearts to do, because it'll bring income in. But again, it's going to allow us to tithe and sow. So we have to keep in mind, why are you bringing money in? Because you want to tithe so ministries can be strong and do what God's calling them to do, but also sow into other ministries. So the other day I was thinking, praying to the Lord and also mentioning to Will, it'd be nice if we had a third party, like a broker, who could help us rent this out, because we get people asking us and then they just don't follow through. And that next day I get an email.
I thought it was it was like an hour later.
You know, can we help you rent your RV out? And I'm like, yes. So that was an immediate answer to prayer, stepping down in faith, and then God will continue to bring confirmation and bring things to pass.
Dr. Sands, would he just be jumping up in his grave right now listening to everybody? He just comes by. He gave three V's that fit just what Paul said. And I used to think about him with Blackaby back in school, Paul, when some of those things were, that was such a good illustration. But very quickly, he said the three V's are this. I built a church and a Christian school and everything on this one thing. He said, God gives a vision. First, it's a vision. Sometimes you don't want the vision, like Will said. Maybe not, God. But then he says, no. And he keeps seeing that vision. It could be a dream. It could be anything. After you see that vision, you get to the place where you get your spiritual courage up and you listen to the Lord and you say, okay, I will now venture. There's the vision. Mm-hmm. Next comes the venture. The venture could be terrifically frightening because you really don't know. And I was frightened even before I had to look at all these computers. So now it's really compounded. You know, you try to figure out how this stuff all works. So you go the vision, the venture. But when you step out by faith after seeing the vision from God and trusting him into the venture, he does the victory. So you have a vision and a venture and a victory. And when he brings those along, and by the time you get to the victory, he's removed from you fear. He's placed in you joy. He's given you the right picture. It wasn't you. It was God. He did it all. And he gives you the peace that passes understanding. I can rest in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ walking in me. I'm done. But that was just remind you. You heard him, Doc, didn't you? You could hear him. He's up there listening.
Oh, yeah. Man, glory goes to him. You know,
that's exactly. That's the whole point. Yeah. Last one. Yeah. Glorious. Yes. You couldn't do that. Couldn't make it. Tank, you got a thought there? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump
in. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Yeah. You bet. You look good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There's a lady in the corner looking at you smiling.
I feel there. Like I'm in a really bad episode of Star Trek. So yeah, a couple things. One is, Joe taught us about the upgrades for lemonade. So the upgrade to the flag is the light, and JB Weld will help secure that to the top of the flag.
Yeah.
So that's the first piece of advice. Uh-huh. The other one is, like what Paul said, you know, when you're in motion, when you're obedient to God and you take time out in the day, mine's in the morning, or when you wake up in the middle of the night, look what time it is. If it's 4:23, look up, go Google Bible 4:23. And see what passage comes up, because God may be talking to you.
That's right.
Seriously, start to look, you'll see. And when you start to listen, you'll hear. So I think those are advice that I've gotten and learned, especially over the last 2 years. And God provides. I mean, I can't even say how God's provided for us in this last couple of years. So.
And it's wonderful how he provides, because you're sitting there thinking, you know, how's this going to happen? How are we going to get these funds? It's not happening. And it seems like for us, it's the last minute. And he provides.
Yeah. And it's, Francis Chan would talk about his mega church, 80 grand this month, needs 80 grand that month, needs 160 this month. That's what he normally needs. Suddenly someone writes a check for 80 grand extra. Boom. He's having a big gatherings for the homeless in San Francisco. He needs food. Somehow, whoever was supposed to deliver didn't happen. Suddenly, a Starbucks breaks down their freezer. They need to get rid of it. They call him and say, hey, can you use this food? There's the food.
Amen.
See, that's amazing.
It happens.
You know, Gary Cassie talks about entering into the rest where we don't want to toil and labor and toil with this, with the earth curse system, but we want to enter into God's rest. And there's a lot of scriptures that talk about, you know, the Sabbath rest, there's the annual rest or the 7-year rest, the year of Jubilee. And when Jesus came, he's our Jubilee. So when we're serving, we don't want to be stressed out and anxious and working two jobs 24/7. We need to find rest, because God's going to move in our rest. And that's what's a blessing to know, is our friends. We don't want to just depend on our friends to support us and meet our needs. God meets the needs mm-hmm. through people he speaks to. Mm-hmm. And it's a blessing when he speaks to you to say, I'm using you to help them. So we don't have the care that it's going to be our family and friends that are going to meet the needs we have. And as many as we want to help, we just can't, because everybody's needs are really great. But God is the need meter. And he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He has the resources to speak to people and give you ideas to move out into the appointments he has for you. So
amen.
We all need to be in that rest.
Amen. Amen. He's got a plan. He always has the way.
Yeah.
That's where the faith comes in. It's awesome. That legitimate faith. He's in it. Amen. Yeah.
Oh, your book is full of.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Turns, how he's moved in your life, Joe.
Yeah. Never forget that Bourbon Street with all those kids. And here I am. How'd you like to be walking down Bourbon Street with 200 high school kids and everybody else? And all of a sudden, all the ladies of ill repute are hanging over the rails, calling down to the guys in your group who are some pretty good football studs and everything else. But and you're sitting there thinking, what are their parents going to do? I've lost my job. I'm not even getting back on the bus. But God had a plan. He walked into McDonald's and he starts singing, and these kids took over. The Holy Spirit worked in them, and I just stood there and watered up and watched them sing. Since Jesus came into my heart, shut the whole place down. They just lined the doors, and who would have thought? It's what you say. God had a plan I couldn't see. So we need to rest. Yeah. And Steph, you have a thought there?
Yeah, you know, Marianne, we have to talk about these dreams, because I get dreams too. And at first I didn't pay attention to them. And then I've noticed over the years, I pay attention to a lot more things, whether it's repetition, someone repeats something, a confirmation of a scripture. Sometimes it's the exact scripture over and over, you know, some obscure text. I'm like, okay, I need to get back into that and read what's happening here. Or like Craig said, even the time of day or just certain things like that. I do really believe that God often shows up in the whisper, you know, like, well, your funny joke. I've heard different variations of that, but he comes subtly at first. It's not like he hands us the manual with the different steps. He's constantly showing up. And often I find that he has a very good sense of humor. And we're usually missing it because we're so busy and we're not making quiet space and we're not in scripture. And one of the things that I learned, I'm actually working on this with our sons. At 17 was the first time I feel like my relationship with God changed from felt bored, knowing all the stories, I can read you the, you know, what the books are, to actual relationship. And that requires spending time with him in the word, praying, sitting and being quiet, which is very, very hard for me. But if we want to hear, if we want direction from him, we have to be spending consistent time with him. He's not an eight ball, right? We can't just expect that we call out to him for 4 seconds and then we haven't talked to him for 2 years. You know, how would a friend receive you if you did that, right? So just that repetition and that yearning. And what I've found is, the more I'm in the word, the more I try to understand, like, I've heard this multiple times. Should I be looking at this? He shows up, and he shows up a lot.
Amen.
You know, another very important thing the Lord taught me was getting people to pray for the nonprofit. And even you guys are all, you have a prayer day in my month where you're praying for the nonprofit. I'm praying for you. And it's expanded to over 30 people, close to probably 75 people who Amen. Are praying for the nonprofit, and I'm praying for them. So we need to be committed as we spend time with the Lord to pray for others, and having others praying for us, it's exactly. so important. And so I would encourage people that have ministries and issues going on in your life, get people praying for you and supporting, being in agreement with what you're believing God for.
Amen. That's right. Tank? I always like to watch Tank. I could tell he's just thinking. Right, Steph?
Someone asked me the question, you know, what is Christianity? I mean, is it going to church? Is it like following the rules? I go, no. It's a personal relationship between you, God, and Jesus. And when you begin to believe, the Holy Spirit. Simple as that.
There you go. Yep. It works. Amen.
I have something to say. So this is the current year's prayer journal, but it's constantly changing. And I'm very serious
how
about
thick that is.
Yeah, man.
What?
Jeez. Look how thick that is.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is for the year, but I can vouch. Marianne does send text messages and she'll say, this is what I'm praying for. How can I pray for you? And there's so much power in that. And so if someone, there's Craig's little thin one. If someone does ask you, take their prayer seriously. If someone is reaching out to you, that's a trust. That's a safe place. They believe that you have a relationship with the Lord, right? And if you are someone that needs prayer, reach out to someone that you believe has a strong faith. There is a lot of power in that, and they might just ask to pray with you. You never know what'll happen.
And some people drop off, so I just keep asking people. People who call me and say, will you pray with me about that? And I'll say, how about if I put you on my calendar to keep you in prayer at least once a month on your birthday? What's the date of your birthday? And so I'm always adding people to my prayer list, and I'm praying for them too.
Amen. Amen. Somebody said to me once, how do you pray for somebody such and such as, it's like Craig, that's why he's a great doctor. Just lay it there simply. Hey, you love God. You love the person. You lift the person up to God. You don't even know the person, but you love them. God loves them and they need prayer. You just love them and lift them up to God. You don't have to tell them what it's all about. God already knows what you just talk about. And then as you get to know them, like Steph said, then people get to know one another. The prayers get deeper and more wonderful.
Yeah, one Absolutely. Of the things that, I got a Tuesday night men's group that we've been meeting, I guess, last 12 years.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And whenever you get sometimes somebody's one of the guys, his name will just come up and, just pop into your mind. It's just like, okay, what's that about? And it's either you call them up or you just, send out a prayer. And then sometimes you'll see a text message and it's him saying, asking for prayer.
Amen. Yeah.
So, those moments come around when somebody you haven't seen for years, their name comes up into your mind. There's a reason for that. And
why don't you know it when you're being prayed for? Right, folks? Right, family, you feel it when you know people. As a pastor, we all know that too. You could just, sometimes sitting at your desk, you say, oh my goodness, it's amazing. Something's happening, huh, Paul?
Yep.
And I'm going to give a plug for praying in the Spirit, because the Bible talks a lot about speaking in tongues, praying in tongues for your edification and to pray for other people. If God wakes you up at 3 a.m. to pray for someone, a political figure or a Hollywood person in my life, I don't know what to pray for that person about, but if I pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit knows the perfect prayer to pray. So when I'm praying for Stephanie and Tank, I'll pray with my knowledge and understanding, but then I'll pray in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit fills in all the gaps and knows the secrets that they need prayer over.
And you just feel it in your heart, don't you? You just feel it. I mean, it just comes. You could just lay there if you're thinking. And I pray a lot. God's done his greatest jobs in my life, like 3 a.m. I bet, like Tank's saying, wakes you up and says, oh, got your attention, Joe? Let's talk. Okay, here we go. So, I'm looking at the clock. We're just about out of time. Again, we have such a great night. Stephanie, can you give us a shot and we'll pray while you talk so we can reach some folks. Maybe they can make a gift to help us out a little this month.
Of course. You can find all the happenings at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. everything about us, the show, that is where you can make donations both on PayPal and Venmo. We greatly appreciate those. So there's a cool QR code, the little donate button. And if all else fails, you can just reach out to us and contact us, and we can do it the old fashioned way because we know how to do that as well. And then Dr. Marianne's site was shared earlier. What's your website, Marianne? Oh, there we go.
It's dys-sol.com.
Perfect. Thank you. And of course, they always love your donations as well. And just also sharing the services that they offer, because they do have those goals of getting to all of the teachers and the students. And then I just wanted to say, you both said 3 a.m. You shouldn't have said it. My husband already knows what I'm going to say. So in scripture, there are different times of the night. And from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. is the fourth watch. And I challenge you to get into scripture, because you will see very early in the morning when Jesus rises to have that quiet space and pray. It is between 3 and 6. So if you wake up between 3 and 6, ask God if he's trying to talk to you. I have found some amazing things happen in that time.
And you can go back to bed if you have to afterwards, but it's fun.
I screenshot it. The time. Okay, sorry, we're getting told we're over time.
It's a special time. Yeah, very, very special. Well, I think we're time to close. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in tonight. I just got that signal to me. God bless you and keep you. Marianne, Will, God bless you. We love you. Appreciate you being like part of our family. Thanks for your good words tonight. And we'll look forward to just watching God work in all of our lives. Make me a blessing for someone today, huh, Paul, like the old hymn said. And let's pray for each other, be lifting each other up. We'll see you next week, same time, same station. If God speaks to your heart, remember, you can help somebody with dyslexia. Go to Marianne's spot. You'll read some incredible things. I love reading it there. You check it out and check us out, too. See you later. God bless and keep you.
Bye now.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.